Okay, your name is?
Nick Brashill.
Okay. And how long have you been in the Youngstown area?
79 years. 78 years.
Okay.
Born in Briar Hill.
On Coven Street. Okay. Were your parents from this country, or did they?
No, my parents immigrated from Italy.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in Italy?
Gazette.
Mm-hmm. What part of Italy is?
It's the next 15 miles the other side of Naples.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of jobs did you hold, or what kind of jobs were you about around the 1920s in Youngstown?
Well, I was working the Erie Railroad down at the time.
Mm-hmm. What did you do for the Erie?
I was, apprentice helper at that time, boilermaker apprentice helper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when did you first hear about the Ku Klux Klan coming into this area?
Around the 20s, 20, 21, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. What did you hear about it? What kind of organization did you?
Well, I heard that it was against all Catholics and foreign people, and they wanted to make a city of their own.
Mm-hmm. What did you do as a result of hearing that? What?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, you indicated before that some people formed another organization. What organization was that?
In the old days, there was always an ethnic group. There was in Briar Hill, there's a Briar Hill outfit. Then from Lafayette Street to, Berlin Street to Hamburg was the Germans. And from Jefferson to Wellington was the Irish. And then from the Westlake's Crossing was the colored people, the black people.
Mm-hmm. And everybody lived separately.
Everybody lived separately.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to fight your way in and fight your way out.
Okay. Were you ever in any fights between the different groups?
every day, nearly.
Every day, huh?
Many of black guys.
Mm-hmm. Did you fight with the Irish and the Germans?
First it was the Germans, then the Irish, and then mm-hmm. the black people.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we come back home, it was the black, the Irish, the Germans, and then back home. Every time we
so
went
as you
to
walked
town.
Through the neighborhood, huh? You had fights
every time
to get
we
through.
Went to the town.
Mm-hmm. And each group had its gang.
Each group had their gang. Now, in down further was the Smoky Hollow gang. That was mm-hmm. part Italian, and I think it part Irish. Monkey's Nest was Slovak, Polak, Hungarians, and
where was Monkey's Nest?
Monkey's Nest is where Crescent Street is now, where the East Ohio Gas got their plant down there under the.
Mm-hmm.
That's Monkey's Nest in there.
Okay.
And then they had Lansingville, and then the rest of them was mostly all woods, like North Lima. It's all farmers and Canfield and all. They was mm-hmm. mostly all farmland. This was all farmland in here. Mm-hmm. Everything was farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Even part of Youngstown, up the upper end of Briar Hill there, towards Girard, was all farmland.
Were most of the gangs young people, I take it?
Well, young and old.
And old?
But most of the young people were doing most of the...
Okay, now, supposedly some people formed an organization to fight against the Klan coming into Youngstown.
Well, there was no organization. It was the paper that dubbed them that, but it wasn't an organization. It was just a sewed together outfit. The guys that got there, the first put in their licks.
So they called them in the papers the Knights of the Flaming Circle, right? But you're saying it really wasn't such an organization.
No, they call them that because what they had is a flaming circle. What we've done is got a bunch of tires and put them around the circle and burn them, or maybe bales of hay and put them around a big circle and burn them. They burned the cross and we burned the circle. But it was a hit-and-run outfit. It was no heads of anything, you know.
There were never any meetings?
No meetings.
No dues?
No nothing. There was no...
People would just decide on the spur of the moment kinds of things they would do.
That's right. When they heard that there was going to be a parade, right, then we maybe... certain bunch of it together and try to disrupt it.
Do you know why they happened to pick out the circle as an emblem?
No, I never did find out why the circle why they burned the circle, but it was what they burned. Mm-hmm. That's what first guys did, and that's what we all done.
That's what you all... Well, there supposedly was somewhat of an organization formed in Steubenville that was called the Knights of the Flaming Circle.
Maybe that's where
and maybe what happened is this area just picked up on that.
Picked up off of that.
Yeah.
But then,
started doing it. But there were no meetings in...
No.
Yeah. Okay, could you tell us some of the things that this group did?
Well... One thing, when they had a parade, one time they had a parade there going into Canfield, and they scattered tacks all over the road, grouping tacks all over the road, and everybody got flat tires.
Okay. Now, that was just spur of the moment, too. Just a few guys who got together and decided to toss the tacks on the road.
See, in those days, they had what you call constables. And a constable was allowed to deputize as many men as he felt like. And these Klan, all those constables were all Klansmen and their deputies, and you had to sneak around, you know. You couldn't leave anybody know what you was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always hit and run. It wasn't any meetings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so many of the constables in the area were Klansmen.
Yeah.
And they could have... arrested you or disrupted you, and so...
They arrested you. They didn't disrupt you. They'd arrest you.
They'd arrest you. Okay. Okay. Did anything happen as a result of those attacks or on the road? It was just some of the people...
They did pinch a couple guys.
Okay. What other kinds of things do you remember the Knights doing?
That's about all, until they had the last parade, and that was up in the house.
Did you go up to that?
Yeah, we was up there, but we got there on the, see, that mostly that was done by the Niles outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Niles outfit done that, and they had all the roads. See where they got fooled. They had all the roads with constables and policemen and stuff like that. And their deputies, they had them blockade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the night before, a bunch of the fellas went there in the night before and stayed there all night. And some of the guys, like me and a few more others that had cars, we drove down to one of those side roads and we went across the field and two orchards.
Mm-hmm.
And got there.
And got in. So you were at the scene of some of the riot then?
That was the only scene.
Yeah, were you at North Main and Federal, which was by the glassworks there? Is that
well,
that
we
where
was
you went?
Up above, up further than that. We were at the Kinley Heights there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right
on Robbins,
inside,
coming off Robbins Avenue.
Right in where you go into Niles there.
Mm-hmm.
Not Youngstown Road. Youngstown Road.
Right.
Where that was a dirt road, I think, at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, where I'm thinking of is the Robbins Avenue entrance.
Yeah, Robbins Avenue.
Yeah, up near the church, near Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yeah, up around in there.
Yeah, and that's where you were located.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did you see? And or what did you do on that day?
What we've seen is a lot of cars stepped over. Well, first of all, there's a lot of Klansmen. Well, not a lot of them. A few of those cars had Klansmen in with sheets and hoods over their heads. And some of them had shotguns.
Some of the Klansmen had shotguns.
Some of the Klansmen had shotguns, and some of them, the ones on foot, some of them had sidearms, like pistol, but they didn't get a chance to use them.
So there were some Klansmen also who were walking
to
this parade, or this attempted parade.
They got hit so sudden that they didn't get a chance to use any of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what would happen to a car with a Klansman who was coming into Niles over Robbins Avenue?
Well, he just tipped the car over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they tipped the car over and stopped them from coming in.
Stop and break up the parade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, word come in that the National Guards was coming, so everybody scram. That was the end.
Okay. Do you know why the Klan was trying to march in Niles?
The reason I think the Klan was trying to march in the Niles, they had mostly every place but Niles. They had Girard, and they had Youngstown, quite a few Klansmen, and they had Canfield and North Lima. They had all the farmers, mostly all the farmers around. So Niles was the place that they had the most trouble, and I suppose they was trying to break that up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Showing that they could parade, you know.
Yeah.
They get their permits. They get their permits, and then they have the police protect them, see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the other boys would have, like us, we'd have to be on the run all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you participate in the stopping of cars, or were you just an observer?
I was there. No, I didn't turn any cars over, but I was just there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you know anybody who was kind of heading up that effort to stop the cars?
No, I didn't.
They were Niles people?
Mostly all Niles bunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What, either yourself or other people who were in this group, what did you feel the Klan was going to do if they got power or control? What kinds of things did you feel was going to happen?
They already was doing it. They, like, for instance, Girard. You can go to Girard, they call it the Holy City. They dubbed it the Holy City because mm-hmm. every time you went to Girard, even if you spit on the sidewalk, they'd throw you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't a Klansman or if it was an ethnic group, why they'd throw you in jail.
So you think that the police
everybody made wine. Most of all the Italians made wine, and up there they was throwing the guys in jail over there for making wine and fining them $1,000.
Okay, so some of the people were making wine and were getting arrested, and particularly, you know, from many Italians, because they were used, obviously, to having
wine. They make
wine.
Makes wine. They made wine at that time. They wasn't selling it. They just made it for home use.
Mm.
Like us, my dad, he made wine all the time. Then nobody ever bothered us with our wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, some of the Klan, though, was talking about stuff I've read about prohibition and enforcing the prohibition laws. And they were contending, I guess, some of the people were selling it. Were there any people selling it?
At that time, the bootleggers were starting to get bull.
Mm-hmm.
They were just coming out. The bootleggers is coming out of the woodwork. That's the reason they had these what they call dry squads.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of those dry squads had a John Doe search warrant, and they didn't need no name, no nothing. They just knocked on your door and just walked in and went through your house. And some of the times they even planted, if you didn't watch them, they even planted the whiskey on you.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any incidents happen to you of that sort?
Yes, we had every time they used to raid around the neighborhood. They used to come at our door, and we never made it or ever sold it, never had it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the first place they'd hit. And one time there's a guy come with a whole basket full of whiskey. He wanted to look through the house and want him to set the basket of whiskey outside. He said no. So we had to watch him. We walked with him all through the house, him and the bottles of whiskey.
You were afraid that he would plant it?
Raiding Jack, they call it that house. Time. We scared he'd plant it because they had been planting them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fine was $1,000, and they took you to Canfield. They didn't take you to Youngstown. They took you to Mayor's Court in Canfield, and that was Stanton Fine, and the ones of the bootleggers that did make the whiskey, and they caught them, they say, okay, missus, go back and make some more whiskey. We'll come next month and get you. It'll be another $1,000.
Well, they arrested the bootleggers then, too, as well.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to get them, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They didn't let them off, or...
No, no, they didn't leave the bootleggers off.
Yeah.
No, they... But
but they were also
they
taking
got a lot of,
innocent
they
people.
They got a lot of innocent people. That's why, that's one of the reasons they done away with the constables in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had too much power.
Yeah.
Particularly these John Doe warrants that you mentioned.
John Doe warrants, and they could swear in as many men as they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Now,
like they'd pick anybody. Like they'd get you, you, and you, and say, come with me. They say, hold your hand up.
Mm-hmm.
You come with me.
Mm-hmm.
So they come and raid your place.
They raid.
They show you the warrant, John Doe warrant.
Where would they get the warrant from?
Well, in Canfield.
From the Canfield?
Mayor's Court.
Okay. Back to Niles. Were any people killed at Niles, to your knowledge? Did you see anybody killed?
I didn't see nobody killed, but the rumors was there was people killed and people injured and people missing.
Mm-hmm.
And rumors was that there's still people missing. They never did find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The.
And that's the rumors now.
Yeah, well, I know in reading the newspapers that the National Guard, after they came in, did.
National Guard
go through the creek,
they
get a creek, but they didn't find any bodies. That doesn't mean
Well, it's Mosquito Creek swamp too. There's a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a swamp there.
Mm.
Mosquito Creek and the Mosquito Creek swamp. It was
Whereabouts was the swamp in relation to Niles?
The water flowed in, but there's swamps all over the place.
See, I
see. That's where Mosquito Dam is today.
Mm-hmm.
It was a creek and swampland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Did you ever see some of the leading Klansmen in Youngstown, like Colonel Watkins or Clyde Osborne, people of that sort?
You didn't see them because they always wore hoods.
Mm-hmm.
See, the reason the Klan broke up is when they stole that roster, that Klan roster, when they stole that Klan roster, somebody put some sheets out. They didn't put the book out. They put some sheets out with the people's name and how much they donated to the Klan. They had this guy donated $5, this guy donated 10, this guy 25. And there was even one or two businessmen from Briar Hill
mm-hmm.
that donated to the Klan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they went out of business in a hurry.
Do you remember
what
who
I mean,
some of those businessmen were?
What I mean, they didn't go out of business because...
Right, nobody bought from them, right?
Nobody bought from them.
Yeah, they boycotted them. Yeah. Do you remember who some of those businessmen were?
Well, I don't like to repeat that.
Okay. So, beside the list... You're aware that the list was published and sold on the city streets. Beside the list, there was also these sheets of contributions that people had made as well.
Yeah. And there was rumors of certain guys belonging to,
mm-hmm.
Like when what was his name? The mayor.
Mayor Scheibel.
Scheibel. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be endorsed, and he was supposed to be a Klansman. You know, there was rumors, mm-hmm. but nobody could prove it mm-hmm. that they would. You know.
Yeah.
Because they always wore sheets and I mean hoods over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's the reason they broke up is because a lot of those guys got unmasked
mm-hmm.
by the.
Mm-hmm. Now that was one of the tactics of the American Unity League out of Chicago to get people in a local area to steal the Klan list and reveal it. Do you know anybody who was involved in that stealing the Klan list or the publication of it?
Just like I say, we didn't have no organization there. We just ethnic groups, that's all.
Okay. In terms of the Klan, it became a very big thing locally, obviously. It elected the mayor that it endorsed. It elected 6 out of 7 city councilmen. And people in other cities as well, nearby
had
cities.
Judges and had
school board.
Prosecuting
mm-hmm.
attorneys.
Why do you think it became so big here? You know, people often think of the Klan as being a Southern organization. How come it became so big, particularly when there were so many immigrants around here, you know, at that time?
Well, trouble is an ethnic group was starting to give them trouble because they, like the black people, you know, I have to laugh at the black people. They say they've been in the ghettos and treated bad and stuff like that. They don't know what the ethnic group went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you went for a job, if you was Italian or a foreigner or something, if you wasn't a Welshman or something like that, you was a laborer. And the labor paid 10 cents. When I started on the railroad, labor paid 10 cents an hour. You worked 10 and 12 hours a day. That was way back in 1916, 17, and 18, and 19. Mm-hmm. In 1919, after the First World War, that's when the wages start going up a little bit. That's when they start getting unionized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that I tried to track down in regard to the Klan being so successful was the voting, particularly of the immigrants. And the Board of Elections, unfortunately, their records are all burned. Some fire back in 40 or 50, somewhere around there. Did many of your relatives vote at that time?
Here's another thing. You, in the old days, you voted as the your bosses and your superintendent or your owner said. If he said, which was in those days was all Republican, and you voted Republican, if you'll see that mostly all your mayors and everything was all Republican in those days,
mm-hmm.
and if you didn't vote Republican, the next day they knew just how you voted. Mm-hmm. Now those. People with our folks were a little dumb or something like that. They let the people know who they voted for or some way or another. They found out how they voted, but they found out how they voted.
Mm.
And the next day they didn't have no job.
Mm. Let me ask you further. When the Klan ran, were they also telling you to vote for the Klan at that time?
No, no.
No, they didn't go that far.
They didn't go that far, but no. They had the top, you know what I mean? They had the most people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Well, the other
groups is always splintered. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the other groups is always fighting amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the black people are today. Mm-hmm. They're fighting for power. Like mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson, he's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting for power with the other blacks for fighting for power, and they splintered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they was.
So there was a rivalry among the different ethnic groups.
Ethnic groups, and if a Italian guy run for office, why he never got elected?
Because the Slovaks or the
Slovak or anybody or else run, he never got elected because everybody was against him until Spagnuolo run, and then he was the first mayor that was out of the ethnic group.
Yeah, on the southern.
From the ethnic groups that got elected.
Now, that reminds me of one man who ran for mayor, Joseph Heffernan, who came after Scheibel. Do you remember him at all?
Joseph Heffernan, yeah.
Yeah. Now, he was anti-Klan, and from what I have read.
Well, that's when the Klan broke up.
Yeah, right.
Heffernan come in after the Klan broke up.
Do you remember Heffernan? Was he active at all in some of the anti-Klan stuff that you knew of?
Not as I know of, no.
Okay. What about Canfield? What was it called?
Canfield was called Klan City because that's where all they had their big meetings and everything, and the policemen and stuff over there, you just spit on the sidewalk, they told you, in jail.
Now the Klan at one point formed kind of a side organization called the Ohio State Rural Police. Colonel Watkins started. And did you ever hear of that or anything about that?
No, I never heard of that.
Okay. Okay. Do you have anything else in general that you remember about the Klan at that time, or about the Knights of the Flaming Circle?
You covered about it, all of it.
Okay. In regard to the Klan in the South, for example, did harass people, it lynched some people. Did the Klan do anything of that sort up here, to your knowledge? Did they?
To my knowledge, no.
Other than just by having the cross and burning the cross and holding the meetings and saying some of the things that they said.
Well, only trouble they give you it was through the law. They try to push you to do what they want you to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were very big on law enforcement. Matter of fact, like you said, they ran a prosecuting attorney. They tried to get control of the sheriff's office.
They did control the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
They controlled the sheriff, the prosecutor, and they controlled the judges.
Mm-hmm.
They controlled the mayor, the chief of police, and even some of the policemen.
Mm-hmm. And your experience was that they were at times unfair to people who were not Welsh or German or Klansmen. terms of arresting them and finding them and putting them in jail?
That's the reason they had their trouble. If they, I mean, they'd still be here if they wouldn't be unfair to the other ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they hadn't harassed them.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. The Knights of the Flaming Circle, was that name accurate?
Huh?
Was the name Knights of the Flaming Circle an accurate name? Was that actually the name of the organization?
No, the Knights had the Flaming Circle, but then the newspaper dubbed it the Knights of the Flaming Circle because the Ku Klux Klan was the Knights too.
Mm-hmm. Were there any special things that Flaming Circle wore? Did they have any badges or clothing or any special kind of?
No, nothing special.
In regard to Girard, could you go through Girard?
When we wanted to go past Girard, we'd go up Trumbull Hill and across Belmont and down Church Hill, or we went as far as McKinley Heights there and come down.
And you couldn't go through the city, or you were afraid to go through the city?
Yeah, we were scared to go through the city.
Mm-hmm. Possibility of being arrested.
Thrown in jail.
Did you know some people who were arrested and put in jail?
One fellow in particular, he had a hard time. He was driving through Girard one day and he got sick. And he stopped on the roadside and was throwing up. And constables come along, his name was Stanford, and his deputy, Big Mac and Little Mac, and they said he was drunk, and they throwed him in jail, and poor guy had a heck of a time.
He was sick in jail then. They didn't give him any care?
They didn't give him no care or nothing, but they put an awful fine on him. I forget what the fine was. I think if you look in the Vindicator, you'll find that in there, too.
I told you
that. Okay, in the Niles riot, there some of the leaders, it appears, were some of the leading bootleggers. What happened with them after the riot?
Well, after the riot and after things settled down and stuff, a lot of them was bootleggers and a lot of them was gamblers and some of them run bawdy houses.
Do you think that the Klan had a legitimate concern about some of those people or not?
I think the Klan was out just to prove that they could parade in Niles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was the Klan itself strong in your area of the city?
No, there's no Klansmen lived there.
Mm-hmm. Where did the Klansmen live in Youngstown? Where were they? Where did they seem to be from?
Well, mostly over in the south side.
Okay. Were the Klansmen poor people? Were they the mill owners? Do you have any idea of what type of people
Mostly Klansmen was the middle bracket. At that time, it was middle bracket and the rich people.
Middle bracket and the rich?
Yeah, because all the ethnic groups, they was all poor because it's all laborers. Mm-hmm. They didn't have good jobs.
Mm-hmm. Were the mill owners in favor of the Klan? Do you know? Did you get any impression of that? Because they were the ones who obviously were bringing over these people to work in the mills.
Not the mill owners. They wasn't, but their the people they had working for them. Not the higher-ups, but like some of their superintendents and some of their bosses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, kind of the... No, because during the war in 1919, Jim Campbell went down south and he brought in a couple mm-hmm. carloads of black people up there, the Youngstown, to work in the Camel Works.
Hey, do you think that in itself precipitated the Klan arrival? Because the Klan has often been associated with being against blacks.
No, there you go. The blacks was real minority. They was real small. They wasn't.
So people weren't really concerned about the number of blacks in Youngstown. It seemed like a lot of the churches supported the Klan in Youngstown.
A lot of what?
A lot of the churches, Protestant churches. Remember any of that?
Churches?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of churches was Klan.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the...
Mostly, yeah, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think... Then that religion played an important part then in the development of the Klan in Youngstown?
Well, it played some of it, yeah.
Do you think that if we separated out some issues like religion and, say, law and order, would you say that the religious issue was stronger or the law and order issue was stronger in Youngstown?
Well, I'd say it was about even.
Now, there was a lawyer named Jack Walton, who ran for mayor in 1923, who was very against the Klan, and he had the Vindicator support. Do you remember? Do you remember who the ethnics voted for in 2023 when Scheibel ran for mayor? Was there any special candidate that they favored or anybody that they were trying to get in?
I don't remember who run against Scheibel.
Thomas Muldoon was an Irish Catholic. Thomas Muldoon was an Irish Catholic who ran. And Frank Vogan was another candidate. And this Jack Watkins. Who also ran for mayor. In other words, I was trying to determine, was there any kind of political movement on the part of the ethnic groups who didn't like the Klan to get a candidate in? And you don't recall any real activity
to
unite behind a candidate?
No, those days... quite a few of those, especially Italian people and stuff like that, they wasn't citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Many people weren't naturalized yet.
Yeah.
Somebody once told me that a lot of the people did not realize that you had to go through naturalization to become a citizen.
Well,
you think that was true?
Well, most of them... Those was naturalized. They didn't know enough to go down and register to vote, and some of them couldn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time we had a Italian run for councilman, and he lost by, I don't know, 3 votes, I think. I don't remember. His name was Charlie Perella. And he lost because the wreck train, mostly on the Erie Railroad, mostly Italian, they worked on the wreck train, and the wreck whistle blew that night. And see, they worked from, I think, 6 in the morning, 6 at night, or I think they worked 12 hours here. They worked, well, anyhow, they started 6 in the morning. Anyhow, when time got to work and they got home and ready to go to boat, the wreck whistle boat. Well, when they got down to work, they fooled around here and there, and they sent them home because there was no wreck. And this guy lost because of the wreck, these guys had a wreck train.
So you think that was a setup of some sort?
Might have been. I don't know. It looked like it.
Looked like it, huh? The newspaper, The Vindicator, in 1923, when the election was being held and people were registering, claimed that some of the foreign-born people were being told by the registrars that they couldn't vote. Did you ever have that experience, or anybody that you knew have that experience in 1923?
Well, I myself, I wasn't old enough.
You weren't old enough, right?
To vote at that time. I was 17, 18 that time.
Right.
But just like I say, these bosses, the guys that knew their voting rights, these bosses got at them and,
mm-hmm.
and they were scared and they voted how the boss said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Italians in Youngstown who came over from the old country tended to live in the same neighborhood?
Yeah.
Did people of the same villages group together, or was there a mixture of Italians from different parts of Italy?
A mixture.
Okay. Were the Italians strong in their practice of Catholicism at that time?
No, not too strong.
Very strong in their practice of Catholicism at that time?
No. Not too much. With mostly the woman, but not the men. The Irish was the most Catholic of all. Mm-hmm.
Were the Italian men, did they like the priests or the Pope? How did they feel about the...
Well, as far as the Pope was all right, but they didn't care much about the priests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were the priests usually Irish in this area?
No, in Briar Hill, it was always Italian.
It was always Italian.
And there was only one German.
Mm-hmm.
Father Spitzig.
Mm-hmm. But they tended to not be, to practice Catholicism or to be that much interested in Catholicism. So the point I'm trying to get at is,
well,
the Klan coming in, these people are going to bring the Pope over, for example, was one of the rumors of that time.
As far as the Italians bringing the Pope over, they had no intentions of ever bringing the Pope over. They never even had their mind set on that, because they know how good the Pope was, well off in Italy, without coming here and getting all into trouble here.
Okay, yeah. Why do you think that the Klan wanted to control the other immigrants other than the Irish? What were they trying to accomplish?
Well, they wanted to have the power. They wanted to be the, just like, I suppose, dictators like up today, where they want to tell the people what to do.
Do you think they were afraid, or did you get any sense they were afraid that America would fall apart if these people...
The Klan?
Yeah. Well, I guess let me ask the question a little bit better. Was the Klan? Did the Klan want to Americanize these people, whatever that meant, in a sense? Were they afraid that they weren't really good Americans?
What they wanted to do was keep them down. They see the people was getting too smart. The ethnic groups was getting smart, and they wanted to keep them down. Mm-hmm. Now you take, for instance, like my street where I come off of Dearborn Street. There's more professional people come off of Dearborn Street than any street in Youngstown. I mean professional people. What I mean is doctors, lawyers, surveyors. I don't mean storekeepers and stuff like that. I mean professional people. Mm-hmm. There's more people come off of Dearborn Street. And you, why do you say they're smarter up there? No. They had to come up the hard way.
Mm-hmm. In the 1920s, were many Italians able to get into professional jobs, or did it take a while before that occurred?
It took a long time after that to get into professional jobs.
Mm-hmm. When do you estimate Italians kind of started to arrive in a sense of moving up in the social structure in the Youngstown area? 1930s, 1940s?
Oh, I imagine in the 30s.
Was this a result of people emphasizing education? In other words, did they send their children on to school and
send their kids to high school and on to college and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. They educated their kids the most. Mm-hmm.
Did
it make a better living because their wages was a little higher and they was able to get move into higher paying jobs. They didn't have to stay in the labor. Mm-hmm.
For those Italians who were laborers, were they able to, like you talked about unions,
no,
of course it was mainly craft unions in the 20s. Were they able to get into those?
No, you couldn't get in. If they knew you belonged to a union, they'd fire you.
You're talking about like at the railroad or at the mills?
Any place.
Okay. So this was a closed town as far as unions were concerned.
See, the unions started to unionize in 1919. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was one of the, when I was 14 years old, I told them I was 18, I started on the Erie Railroad. Mm-hmm. And I was charter member Local 49 at the Boilermakers. And the first what they call charter member of the Boilermakers Local 49 in Youngstown. That's when they started organizing. Before that, they tried to organize the Bry Hill Sheet and Tube. It was the Bry Hill Steel. Uh-huh. And it was the IWW that tried to organize them, but they couldn't organize.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started organizing the Boilermakers in 1919 here in Youngstown, you either could belong or not belong, but you couldn't tell the man, like, you belong to the union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't recognize you. You just belonged to the union and they didn't recognize you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Until McAdoo got a hold of the railroads. And then they start recognizing the union.
Right, when McAdoo organized them during the war, recognized the unions. Did the union continue after the war was over in Youngstown area?
Yeah.
Local 49 of the Boilermakers?
Yeah. Local 49 was there for a long time until Depression When the Local 49 was there until the railroads start dieselizing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they start dieselizing, that's when Local 49
mm-hmm.
broke up.
Now, was the IWW involved at all with the Boilermakers or just with the steel?
No, IWW tried to organize the steel workers in the Far Hill Sheet and Tube.
Mm-hmm.
That was before Local 49 come in.
Do you remember what was the attitude of Youngstown in general towards unions at that time?
Oh, it was poor.
Okay. They didn't like people who joined unions.
No. When the union started, when your union started, when they start really organizing, it is 1937 when they had the little steel strike. See,
mm-hmm.
in 1919, they had a strike in Camel. They had a big strike in Camel, and they sent the National Guards in there. And the National Guards, looted there was a bunch of bums. And they looted the Camel, they set half a Camel on fire, looted Camel, and they had to send the United States Army in here, and they put them under, they pinched them.
Oh yeah, I think that was 1916.
I think
that was the 1916 strike.
Yeah, I got a little mixed up.
Yeah, but that,
1916 or 1917.
Yeah. And they burned down some of the locks.
Camel.
Yeah. Okay.
That's when IWW.
Yeah. Do you think that some of the people who joined the Klan were against the ethnic groups because they were involved in some of this unionizing? In other words, you think that was a cause of conflict?
I try to tell you what.
Yeah.
Ethnic group would start moving. It was getting smart, getting educated, and starting to learn the ropes. What I mean, the ropes, and starting to
learning to read and write.
Read and write, and know their rights and stuff like that. And they wanted the power to keep them down. And it's like I say. They had the law, the judges, your peace force, have your police force, your mayors, everybody was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but in terms of Youngstown and its politics and its police force, at that time, were they honest? Was it honest government during the 20s? We talk a lot now about some of the dishonesty in politics, but what back then was it honest? Other than, I mean, obviously you've indicated they were somewhat prejudiced, but were they honest? Did they take care of the criminals?
How can you say they was honest, or how could you say they was crooked? How could you say they was honest? How could you say they was crooked when they pinch you and fine you $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Where did that money go? Who took it?
Mm-hmm.
They split it amongst each other, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Didn't go to the state. Didn't go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you think? I ask you a question. How do you think these judges and these mayors and stuff have all these big homes and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They play the stock market. They say in those days they used to play the stock market. Didn't anybody give you a tip? How much money you ever make in the stock market? How many people you know that have been millionaires playing the stock market? All the guys I know all lost money. Mm-hmm. They play the stock market because they got too much money and they don't want to pay the income tax, so they lose it in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. So you think their hands were a little bit in the till?
Yeah, so a little.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Okay. Going back to the notion of, you know, different ethnic groups being very much in their neighborhoods, was there much intermingling at all? What about intermarriage, for example?
Oh no. If a Italian girl went over to Steel Street, her Monkey's Nest, and pulled around with one of those Slovaks or Hungarians, like, you got your head kicked out of you unless you went with a gang. They happened to one of our folks one time. One of the fellas went over there. Well, we used to go, three of us used to go and see girls over there in Steel Street. And one night, this guy went by himself. They jumped him. They knocked hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So next day, we picked up a gang and we went over Steel Street. Went down, pulled them down the stairs over there, and each one got around the pool tables there and asked for the guy, a certain guy, and says, he ain't here. Well, if he ain't here, we start wrecking the place. Well, police come. Wanna know what the trouble was. So they got us in the corner and talked to us. And we'll leave us catch you here again. So in jail. So it was too long after that, though, then they started in the marriage. And then, but it was a long time. You didn't end the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian girl didn't marry no outsider. Well,
how about the Italian boys? Could they marry an outsider?
Italian boys, too.
Yeah.
They didn't marry outside, neither.
Mm-hmm. What do you think brought about intermarriage? In other words, what happened that the ethnic community didn't demand, you know, that people stay within their group anymore?
Well, they got educated. The people got educated. They found out that there's good people in every ethnic group. You know, there's good people in any group. There's bad people and there's good people. There's good people in black people. There's bad people in black people. Mm-hmm. Good people in Italian. Good people in every people. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that there's good people and there's bad people. So you got to take the good and the bad. And just like when you draw a card, you draw a good card, you draw a bad card.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Klan, when it appeared in Youngstown, caused the groups to be more polarized? In other words, did it make the situation worse or the feelings worse between the different groups?
No, I think it brought them a little more together than it scattered them, as mm-hmm. far as that concerned. But they still didn't mingle too much amongst each other. But if there was a clan doings and they had to do something, well then it had to be done, it'd be done.
Mm-hmm. So the Italians and the Slovaks, mm-hmm. whatever, would go off and throw tacks on the road or go up to Niles?
Or do what they had to do, and mm-hmm. that was the end of it.
Okay. in terms of the gangs? Were they criminals or just...
The gang was not a criminal. They fought, but they never robbed or done harm to people or anything. They just fought for their rights, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Generally, they were young fellows who just trying to protect their own people.
That's right.
Do you remember when the Klan paraded in Youngstown after the election of Mayor Scheibel?
Yes, they paraded through Youngstown, but nobody done anything there because they had too many guards.
Were their guards armed? Did they have guns?
They had armed guns, shotguns, and sidearms.
Mm-hmm. Did these guards walk along beside the parade, or were they ahead of the parade, or how did they work?
They walked along the parade, mm-hmm. with the parade.
With the paraders. Okay. So no one felt that they could actually interfere with the parade without getting hurt.
Right.
Okay. Now, in Niles, there's an indication that there were similar guards. Did you get any idea of why the people in Niles were willing or ready to go there and face them and fight them if necessary, even though they knew they were armed?
Well, I think the guard at the Klan got caught off guard. They didn't think there was that many people there to stop them, and they figured that maybe the National Guard would be there to help them get through.
Mm-hmm. So they thought they had enough power?
They thought they had enough power to go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But something happened to the National Guards. They didn't get up there until... I think about 6 o'clock at night or something like that.
It was the middle of the afternoon, I think it was, before they finally got up there.
Late.
Quite a few people had been injured by that time.
Yeah, they got up there way late anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In the mills and the railroads at that time, you said already that the workers, or the Italians, were usually the laborers. Were the supervisors usually Welsh and German?
Yeah.
And were there any Irish who had risen to those positions at that
some
time?
Some was Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Shanty Irish.
Shanty Irish. Not lace curtain Irish.
Yeah, lace curtain.
Did the Italians and the Irish get along?
No.
Did they fight a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why do you think they didn't? Why didn't they get along? Or do you have any idea? Was it just they had been that way and it was going to continue?
The Irish was so hard-headed. They thought that the Italians was one class below.
Mm-hmm. So the Irish had arrived here a little earlier, and they wanted the Italians to be the lower group.
Some of the Italians got a higher job. They had to change their name. We had a couple guys in particular. One fellow, his name was Zingerbot. He had to change his name to Joe Cobert to get a job machinist.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy was named Bill DePiro. He had to change his name to... what the heck? He changed his name too. What?
About Bill DePiro.
Ingerwald had to change his name to Joe Covert, and DePiro had to change his name to Bill Wallers.
For Italians, to get jobs. Did they have to work through fellow countrymen, people who were called padrones?
They always had a middle man, and he was a guy that, before they had the union, he was a guy that stood in the middle, and he collected so much a month to give to the boss. Mm-hmm. Like $5 or $10 a month and give to the boss so the men could work.
Okay, so the patron paid the boss to hire his people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did the patron get a cut of that money? In other words, was the money being paid to the patron
by his
people?
He got his favors.
Mm-hmm. He got favors from whom?
From the boss.
From the boss. Okay. What kind of favors might he get? Money?
He got favors by, he'd bring a guy over, he'd say, hire this man. Or something like that. Okay. Or he was about the laziest man in the game, didn't do nothing.
Okay.
Just looked wise.
Just looked wise, huh? Could you?
The old saying was around the shop was, did you put the basket on the back porch last night?
And what does that mean?
That means, did you bring the basket with the jug of wine and the goodies at the boss's house and put it on the back porch?
Mm-hmm. Now the boss, was the boss called a padron? Or what did they refer to him as?
They just called him, he was the boss, that's all.
Okay. Straw boss?
No.
Yeah, just the boss, huh?
The boss. They went direct to the boss. They didn't fool around. Straw boss.
The anti-Klan forces, did they retaliate very much against Klansmen in any way, or did they just harass them at parades?
They just harassed them at the parade. Because they always bragged about they was going to parade and they was going to parade if they people liked it or not. They got the officials who always back them up.
So it was just a contest of power over the parades.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Did the anti-Klan groups ever, other than the Niles and the parade, did they ever visit individual homes or harass individual Klans people, beat them up, or?
Never. Never was I know of.
Did they boycott some people? Did
they
ever do that? They did boycott some people, people whose names were on the list. Okay, so they wouldn't buy from them.
But
that was as far as they went, though.
When they found out, when they unmasked the people, some of them got boycotted.
At the parade, what kind of harassment?
Well, the parade, sometimes they get some of the Klansmen get their hoods pulled off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In Youngstown, at the parades, did they ever pull the people out of the parade and beat them up, or were they?
No, they couldn't.
They couldn't, because of the guards?
The guards. Too much guard power.
What about the blue laws in Youngstown?
Well, everything was closed on Sunday. Even your stores, grocery stores, and everything was closed on Sunday. And people that have any enjoyment, they go out to Milton Dam. They used to have dances out Milton Dam. But every once in a while, the sheriff would go out there and raid the place. Close it down.
How did the ethnic groups feel about these blue laws? Did in the old country, or even in the new country, did they believe in the blue laws?
Well, they didn't believe in it because the ethnic groups didn't have no freezers or ice boxes. 9 out of 10 didn't have no ice box, and they couldn't keep the stuff overnight, so they had to buy the stuff to be fresh, they had to buy the stuff every day, like your meats.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't keep the meat overnight in the summertime.
So they wanted the stores to be open on Sunday.
They'd like to have the stores open on Sunday because you couldn't keep a lot of the stores. Until the Klan got it on, a lot of the stores used to, like on Sunday mornings, you could go over there and get your meat. Already, it was already bought on Saturday, but you could get your meat on Sunday mornings, so it wouldn't spoil over Saturday. But then the law started closing them up,
mm-hmm.
Start fining them.
Okay, so the I think people they really didn't like the effort to enforce the blue law.
That's right.
Another issue I just thought of that the Klan brought up at that time was the issue of the public schools and the Catholic schools. Did most of the Italian children that you knew go to the public schools?
Sure. I went to public school.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly, very few of them went to Catholic school. They only had, like St. Anthony's, they only had one room.
Mm-hmm. It's only
two
a small number.
Most.
In the public school, how did the teachers react to the ethnic groups or the Italian and the Slovak? Did they welcome them?
They didn't give it too much education. They didn't care if you learned or not.
Mm-hmm. Did they ignore you?
Although they took care of their kind, they give them extra. I know one principal in particular. He used to go over to people's house over there and even teach them at their home.
Which schools did you go to? The name of?
I went to Todd School and Briar Hill School.
Briar Hill School. Okay.
Way back in 14, that wasn't during that. Way back in 14 when
you were at Briar Hill School.
When I was going to Briar Hill School, there was a German school up on top of Bunsen and Berlin Street there. And German kids jumped one of the kids from Briar Hill School there, and the first thing you know, the whole school unloaded and went over there and started fighting with the German kid.
Mm. you mentioned something about Milton Dam and a dance. What happened at that particular dance to cause a fight?
Oh, this one fella slapped this one guy was dancing with the girl and stepped on her foot, and this girl slapped him in the face, and he hit her and knocked her down. The fight started.
Were these different ethnic groups, or were they all Italians at the dance?
No, mixed up.
Mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was it an Italian fella dancing with an Italian girl?
I don't know what she was.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay, when the Welsh or German people who had settled here earlier talked to the Italians, they call you by your first name?
No, they never used to call you, hey Nick, hey Joe, hey Pete. They used to call you, hey Guinea, hey Dago, hey Hunky.